PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is, I would say, a relatively regular on the show. A lot of people know him and fear him on the THP community, but only because he goes by Mr. Darth Finley on there. His name is Jason Finley. He is the ball guy over there at Callaway. Great to have you on, Finley.
Thanks for having me, as always, and look forward to the time and talking about some of my favorite subjects.
Yeah, I like to sort of try and torpedo people into it with just as many things at random as I can. But before we started the show, I'm just going to get it out there so people can hear it. I know there are a lot of granddaddy guys who are incredibly curious as to what condition your game's in. And the first thing you told me before we were going to get on the show is we should probably talk about my golf game. And that means you're either a stud or you're a disaster. Everyone needs to know.
It's very much I'm a disaster. And as I explained to you, I got a hard lesson in what a soft cap is. And, you know, I think they do it to avoid people trying to sandbag and get their handicap up. I wish that was the case. But I suck. I mean, there's no two ways around it. I'm actually playing a little bit, and it's not getting any better.
That's not what we're used to hearing. And frankly, it's quite confusing for a lot of guys tuning in right now. What's the big challenge? I would say it could be an equipment thing, but let's be honest, you have the tools to that right at your disposal, so it must be a you thing.
I think it is more a me thing. You know, I think back, even, you know, going back to the Goat Cup, where in singles I mean I didn't play horrible, I didn't play good, but you know, like, I got just horrible breaks too. And I started thinking about that, and I was obviously, you know, whining about that a little bit. But then I started thinking to myself, well, you're not hitting good shots to get yourself into those positions, right? Like, you may get a plugged lie in a bunker if you hit it in a bunker. Like, that's just going to happen, right? Where you don't get screwed if you're hitting it on the green, generally speaking. So I think I'm kind of doing it to myself in some regards. I will say, I think there's still hope in there, right? I still have it. If you know, I'll still hit some good short game shots generally, but even that has been bad. So it's not good. It's really not good.
So you've won like 37 granddaddies, and you're clearly looking for different ways to take down the competition each year as things change, as different members come in and play against Callaway and the team. This is kind of a weird strategy. This isn't one I had on my bingo card to say that Finley's gonna, you know, be a disaster from the months of like June through who cares, and then suddenly come out firing on all cylinders. There will be guys out there who will have questions for you. So I guess the crux of this discussion here is just how bad is it? Is the handicap like on that upward trend, like big time, or what?
Oh yeah. Yeah, my handicap is 8.5.
Okay.
Right now. Okay. And so the reason for the soft cap, and I didn't even know this was a thing until I posted scores a couple weeks ago, and I got the alert that I had been soft capped. And I what does that mean? So I figured it out that it's, if your handicap goes up more than 3 shots from your yearly low, you are deemed to be soft capped, and then your handicap doesn't rise at the same rate that it would. So I have now hit that position, and it is by no means done on purpose to try and build up my handicap. I wish it was. It's cost me a little bit of money, a little bit of pride along the way. So yeah, it hasn't been pretty.
So it would surprise you to know, Finley, I am infinitely familiar with the soft cap and a lot of THPers are. I think it's sort of a rite of passage to go through it at some point. And it is 3 index points, and the rise is limited to 50% on each score that you put in. So yeah, it's not the most fun thing to go through. And, here's the question I have for you. Are you even sort of ready for the preview show from JDAX if you have a soft cap in play? Like, he's going to thrive on that information if that carries into December.
Maybe, but that's kind of why I'm getting it out there now, right? Like, I'm trying to lay some groundwork for it's happening, right? And even to get it back down would take a little bit of work at this point, given the rate at which I play. It's highly likely. I don't know what that year low point was to where maybe that wouldn't be the case, but I see no signs in front of me of it getting significantly better anytime soon.
I've got pretty good money on you getting better. I don't know what it is about you for some reason.
Well, it'd be hard to imagine that'd
get worse. Well, that's fair. But if I had money on something, it would definitely be you trending back in the other direction. We all go through blips, man. I mean, and it's funny because you get great golf all year long from a California perspective. A lot of us are soft cap because we've sat at home for 6 months, bored out of our minds, and are now finally getting to golf again. And they're like, oh, that's right. This is how you're supposed to swing a club. Why can't I do it anymore?
I wish I had a good excuse like that, but I don't.
Well, let me ask you a question from the industry perspective. You have had a little bit of chance to travel and play, I know, from between the granddaddy, between some of the events that I've seen you at. Is that something that carries throughout the year, or is that fairly limited for you guys?
It goes in spurts, I would say. You know, it depends. I think it's pretty rare. I wouldn't say it's a regular thing. You know, I think you add it all up, I'll play, 25 rounds a year, probably ish. Half of those will be in events of some sort, another third will be in work stuff that maybe I'll have to do. And then the other third is, with friends and groups of people that I play with around here. So I think it's a mix. That was 2/3 and a half, so that is more than a whole, but you get the general gist of that.
Yeah, I guess so. Is that genuinely enough for you? Is that a good spot to be in, or are you the kind of guy who'd prefer to play quite a bit more?
I'd rather play more, and I think this summer I'm hoping to play a little bit more. We tend to get really busy in the fall, kind of the time leading up to the granddaddy. So there's not a ton of time to get after it there. I would say for me personally, with my kids both being in college now, there's a little more time, right? I'm not traipsing around to soccer games and basketball games and baseball games and whatever else, other things that they're involved in. So there's a little bit less of that. So a little more time on my hands to do that should I choose to, if I'm not being given a honey-do list to do around the house.
Well, I suppose we have to talk a little bit about product today, even though, listen, I know there are lots of guys who would love to discuss your handicap for hours, but we won't do that. I personally hope things improve dramatically. I know you have a blast when you're playing golf with us, so the idea of you playing well is probably more fun for everyone else. It's because the barbs aren't just
still in there, though. Everyone. Like, I'll still do some Finley-esque things, but there's just a lot more double bogeys mixed in, I would say.
That's fair. I'm familiar with that too. That's interesting. We haven't chatted in a couple months, so I'm curious, because so much new products come out, we won't focus on golf balls right now, but do you have a product that's come out from Callaway in the last 8 months or a year that you're just genuinely shocked and in love with?
I still really, 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 really like the UWs. I just actually in the past couple of days hit my 27th anniversary here at Callaway. And I tell people all the time that I would probably say the UW is my favorite Callaway club I've ever had. I'd say that one. I've been rolling with a Jailbird Mini for a little while here, and I would say, even given my struggles, I've had some moderate success with that.
Okay. Well, in that case,
obviously the ball is something that I wish I could blame my poor play on, but I really like you know, the new golf balls. And actually I found myself switching it up a little bit and bouncing into something that I hadn't in the past, which is the Chrome Tour, the X version of our ball.
Really? So yeah. did you lose some spin? Are you looking to gain?
I have noticed as my speeds dropped a little bit that I think the X helps me a little bit with some spin on full shots. And frankly, it's a little bit of searching at this point. We talked about, you know, how bad my game is. So just trying anything and everything to kind of change the momentum a little bit.
Okay. Well, I'd love to talk more about the ball itself because it is a new look. We have a new product, especially by name in the lineup, that I think a lot of people have been really curious about in Chrome Tour. How has that lineup progressed? Have you seen much change in the activity of people using it? Have you seen sort of more freedom to go towards that Chrome Tour once people try it?
Yeah, we've definitely had some great momentum in the product. I think, you know, having been, you know, around this place for so long, but also having worked on some of the other categories, I would say, you know, there's always a desire that we see greater market share gains than we've seen. I mean, we've seen them, but not to the level of the, I'll call them more violent swings you see in some of the other categories. And I think, you know, golf ball is just one of those categories. A, it's so big because it's not like, you know, drivers or irons where there is a purchase cycle to that, right? People are always buying golf balls. So you just don't see the big moves that you see maybe in some of the other categories or fluctuations. But definitely continuing to see positive momentum and growth, which is ultimately what we're all about, right? Like, do I wish we could push a button and double our share? Yes. Likelihood of that, I think, just isn't there as much as it is in some of the other categories. You know, it's kind of like I would describe it as it's more of a long standing ground war than anything else. So it's going to take us some time, but definitely showing growth and, you know, as much growth as we've seen in a particular year. So all is good in that regard. And we continue to do a lot of the really good stuff, I would say, around showcasing our product performance that we have. You know, again, having seen so many of these launches, the benefits and the claims that we're able to make this year are better than we've ever had, and you don't have an opportunity to do very often. So finding any and every way that we can to take advantage of that, I think, is key for us. And you'll see, you know, new advertising from us talking about, you know, being faster, longer, and more consistent than the leading competitor, Pro V1. You know, having those opportunities to make strong, legally statistic-based claims like that are pretty few and far between. So pretty proud of what the team's been able to accomplish there and having a little fun talking about that. And then also with the Chrome Tour challenges we're doing around the country and around the world, frankly, I think we're seeing some really impressive gains from a speed perspective in particular, but also in, you know, spin and control around the green. And then the one piece of that claim that may get overlooked, and we're working on new pieces of communication in that area, are the more consistent part. And to be able to talk about how our product is significantly more consistent than, you know, the leading competitors out in the market, I think it's pretty meaningful to us. But, you know, also if you think about what that means to you, the golfer, right? You're a better than average player. I won't quite go calling you a better player, but, you know, if I can tell you that, you know, you can be, you know, significantly feet closer to the hole just based on the consistency that we're delivering, that's meaningful, right? And that's gonna have an impact on, you know, your strokes gained. You know, we all know is more closer to the hole, more consistently, you're gonna have a better chance to make more putts. And you've seen a lot of that analytics and data from us. So to be able to claim that is pretty important for us, and we're going to tell that story a little bit better than we have, and really looking forward to that as well.
Okay. Well, a big part of that is getting the right ball in play, right? Like, I've long made concessions of playing a ball that compresses more, so is a softer ball, with the intent of adjusting on spin. And I think there's been a lot of conversation around Chrome Tour where it sort of marries up the two between, like, getting that compression a little bit closer to where I want it to be, so I'm not giving up on some ball speed, while at the same time getting that additional benefit of greenside spin, especially, which is like one of my primary goals, is how much fun can I have with a wedge in my hand, with the creativity that I can produce around the green. So is that a common conversation, is how can we maximize each ball to the type of person that'll fit in it, or not just the type of swing speed, but the characteristic of swing for each person who intends to use it? Yeah.
And I think, you know, swing speed's always going to be, you know, it's always going to be part of the conversation, and it's an easy default because it's one thing that, you know, most people know what their swing speed is, at least with a driver, and or have a general idea. So it's always part of the conversation. But, you know, I tell people all the time that you could have two people swinging at 100 miles an hour that need dramatically different things out of their golf ball, right? One could be someone that's high spin and wants a golf ball to help take him out of their game. And one could be, you know, low spin, is looking for more spin in their game. Could be dependent on the products that you're playing in your bag, right? If you're playing a muscle back blade that has more spin in it, well, maybe you don't need more spin then. So maybe you do go to a ball that spins less. So there's a lot of variables with golf ball. And I think, you know, as we've talked about a little bit in the past, that's why it's kind of important to go through a deeper, more exhaustive process on golf ball than it is maybe on a driver, right? Where, you know, I've used the example every time that I could walk into one of our hitting bays here and be pretty confident after about 15 minutes I'm going to have my driver dialed in, right, for me. I can't do that with ball because, you know, you could have two balls that have the exact same launch conditions, but the way they fly is going to be different. And, you know, there's no absolutes, right? So, you know, we could have pretty similar launch and spin characteristics to say, you know, with our Chrome Tour X and a Pro V1X, but they fly differently, right? So that could impact which of those golf balls is better for you. So, you know, you really need to take it on the golf course and figure all that out together, in addition to those important variables of the launch and spin.
And that's not even the part we're all thinking about as well, is golfers are incredibly finicky. And if it doesn't feel right, so if it doesn't, react the right way off the club or off the putter or off the driver, it suddenly is infinitely useless to them, regardless of the kind of quality of result.
Yeah, and people feel things differently, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've actually had some people tell me that they think Chrome Tour feels firmer than Chrome Tour X, right? Chrome Tour X has a softer cover, so maybe that's part of that, right? Like, so there's different ways that people feel, and what feel means to different people is different things, right? I always joke about there's no feelometer, right, that ultimately judges that, right? There's variables which we think have a pretty heavy influence on that: compression, cover, you know, softness, cover, you know, thickness, things like that. But everybody experiences that in a different way.
Yeah. How's the tour reaction to the new ball? Are they enjoying it out there?
Yeah, it's been good. We've definitely grown our numbers there. And obviously it doesn't hurt that we've won the last two majors between Xander and Yuka, both using Chrome Tour and Chrome Tour X for the last two major wins. So, you know, I think at one point on the leaderboard in the U.S. Women's Open this weekend, we had four of the top five using one of our golf balls. So, yeah, I think that tour momentum's been there, and certainly, you know, their products is their performance is being helped by the products that we're delivering to them.
So I've had this conversation a number of times lately with people that not all tour balls from all companies sit on the same spectrum. So there's a spin gap or a compression gap that lives on the spectrum of each company. And it's not to assume that you go to every company and they will live on the the external portions of that spectrum. It's more like, where do they fit into the long-ended spectrum of this actual design logic, which is spin or compression or whatever it may be. Do you get feedback on tour to say, hey, I'd really like you to go in this direction with certain things that, that maybe isn't covered by a current tour ball?
We get that feedback, yes, and I think that that's part of how Chrome Tour ended up being what it is, right? Like, both of our balls that were primary played on tour for the last couple of years prior to this year were on the firmer side, right? So we had Chrome Tour X and or Chrome Soft X and Chrome Soft XLS, which had the same compression. We had a prototype that we were testing and got some pretty significant play on last year, that was called the dot ball that we called it, which ended up being pretty similar to what Chrome Tour is today, which, you know, and that came from players looking for a softer golf ball, and potentially a little less spin. You know, one of the stories that I like to share, and, you know, back when we had John Rahm on our staff, still plays our golf ball, but, you know, him and Xander both are considered, you know, high speed, high spin players, yet they play different golf balls. And that's because of the way, you know, they want to play the game. And John Rahm wants to be in control of, you know, he wants the maximum amount of spin, and he wants to be the one in control of taking that spin off when he wants to. So he'll hit a, you know, 3/4 8-iron when he wants to take some spin off of it. Where Xander wants the golf ball to do it for him, and he wants to hit full shots as much as he can around the golf course. So it's kind of, you know, there's it comes down to what you're looking to do with your game as much as anything.
So I spent a bit of time shifting back and forth between tour balls earlier in the year just to better learn them and to learn how much it impacts my game. And I know we've played a couple times, but you might not remember, I hit a very high ball, especially with an iron. So my descent angle's, you know, well into the 50s, which means typically if I'm playing a Chrome Soft, it's just going to pancake on the green. And I've always really enjoyed playing like that, but I put a spinnier ball in play just for fun to see, like, how much does that change my game? And suddenly I'm zipping the ball back 10, 15, 20 feet. And I'm like, do I really want that? Is that really what I'm looking for? Is this what tour spin means? And I like having a fun little debate on it. It's like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Or, you know, I just wanted to use that example to say that I've really enjoyed how much Chrome Soft has played into the performance that I prefer. And I'm wondering, just as an open conversation for people, have they really experimented with that? If you get to a point where you have a product that works for you, are you getting a little creative and seeing, like, okay, how much do I have to change my game, as you just mentioned with Xander, to accommodate the ball? And is it exactly what I want if I'm playing fairly consistently to my ball to do?
Yeah, and it gets back a little bit to, you know, you got to think through the course conditions that you're playing and, you know, everything else. So if you think about, you know, your example, you know, if you play on firm greens, then maybe that spinnier option is going to be better for you because it wouldn't spin back then. You know, maybe if you're, because you're playing on softer greens coming out of the winter months and when the greens are a little bit softer and things like that, maybe, and wet, you know, so maybe that's part of it. So there's a lot of things to consider in that mix too. If you think about tour players, right, they're almost exclusively playing on, and some get firmer than others, but they're playing on pretty firm and fast greens. So that level of control and the ability to spin is pretty important.
I have a question for you as it relates to equipment to the golf ball, not necessarily a fitting perspective, but you mentioned 27 years in the company, and congratulations for that. That's very, very cool. But even if you look 10 or 15 years ago, the types of clubs we were using were not spin hindering. They were very much spin engaging golf clubs. And it wasn't until that, you know, around what, 2010, where things sort of shifted in that low forward logic. Do you think this is an easier time to get more creative with golf balls with how much the drivers have reduced spin?
No, but I do think, I think I'll flip your question maybe a little bit on you, is that I think the driver is so customizable for just about everybody, that maybe the golf ball is less important to it's still very important for the whole part, the holistic part of your game, but you don't have to build your golf ball around the driver that you're playing, if that makes sense, right?
That's like, exactly what I was going for. Yeah,
you can adjust your driver even within a given model, right? The driver I play a 10.5 driver, so I can play that at 9.5 to 12.5. That's going to, you know, be able to impact whatever ball I play that's better for the other parts of my game. So, and I think there's a lot more, you know, Chrome Tour X is probably a pretty good example for us. It's our highest spinning golf ball across the board. But if you look at the driver results from, you know, Chrome Tour to Chrome Tour X, you know, maybe you're going to have 200 RPM different, maybe. You know, depending on, you know, mileage may vary by player, but if you think about the difference on a wedge, it's going to be significantly greater than that. So, you know, if that's important to you, well, you know, you can maybe just take your driver loft down a half a degree or a degree and solve that problem pretty easily, right? So there's a lot more that can be done, particularly on the driver side, you know, and the irons that you play. You know, can be very different too. I like to, another example I use all the time is if I walk in and get fit by you today and you fit me with a Chrome Tour X and I walk in and get fit by you tomorrow and you fit me with a Super Soft, if I end up in the same golf clubs, it's a horrible fit, right? Because there's no way that you can you should be able to get away with playing the same golf clubs with those two different golf balls. And that gets back to the ultimate point of how important it is to play a consistent golf ball, right, to your game. So, for example, yourself, right, and I said that I did it. I switched and kind of searching, but, you know, if you switch from a Chrome Soft to a Chrome Tour X, you know, one day or the other, to expect good results both days is probably not fair to you. So there's ultimately, and I would tell you that, Callaway ball or otherwise, right? Like one of the worst thing that I hear from people when you ask them, what ball do you play, is when they say, well, whatever I find, right? Because the whole goal of getting better is to reduce the amount of variability that you see in your game. And if you're bouncing around, there's so much difference in these golf balls, not only in the launch conditions, but the way that they fly. You know, we have three golf balls in our Chrome line for a reason, because we want them to be differentiated. So if you're just playing whatever you find in your bag or on the golf course, you're just introducing variability into your game that isn't going to help make you better.
Yeah, that's fascinating. It's something I preach a lot. Unfortunately, I have a wife and an 8-year-old who I love to find balls for, so it's rarely that I get first pick anyway.
Playing the game probably for a different reason, right? Like,
but that's what I'm saying.
They're not competitive like you are. They're not, you know, they're not probably not worrying about what their handicap is or if they're getting soft capped or, you know, any of those things that are more a reality for people that, you know, may play slightly more on the competitive side or even more for the fact of getting better, right? I don't think anybody's on THP, you know, talking about golf, learning about equipment, learning more about equipment because they don't want to get better and they don't want to enjoy it more. So yeah. I think that's a pretty key component to that journey, right?
Yeah. So what I was going to say about that was I rarely get first pick, but it's also a hard thing. If you find a tour level golf ball that looks brand new in the fescue, I mean, of course you're going to be inclined to play it. But if I'm already giving it away before I even find it, then I don't have to worry about it. I'll just keep playing the balls out of the box and, you know, live great. And they're happy with the balls they get to play.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll be the first to, I mean, I have a very vested interest in people buying golf balls. I'll be the first to admit that. But I think that, you know, it goes back to the reason why we're all playing this game is, you know, for the fun of it and to get better and not go through the misery that I'm going through of getting worse right now. Right. So, anything that you can do to help improve the chances of that through, you know, consistency in the ball that you're playing, I think would be more beneficial to golfers of you know, all abilities, but particularly those that are in that search of getting better.
So speaking of finding balls in the golf course, I cannot tell you how excited I was the other day at my home course to find a TrueTrack Chrome Tour in that spicy looking presentation, the cool design in it. And I'm looking at this ball, like, oh, it's pretty cool. It's probably a Chrome Soft. And I look down, it says Chrome Tour. I'm like, oh, that's my ball. not the one I hit previously, but you know what I mean, the ball that I play.
Yeah, I got you.
But I feel like a lot of times these new visual technologies you're coming out with are actually very exciting for golfers to play. The 360 is a really good example. I had a friend trade two balls for one 360 from my son, who you know, obviously collects all the cool ones. The new Triple Track has a slightly different design with more of a sharp point, very sleek presentation. I feel like we've covered this a little bit before, but I'm really curious your thoughts, especially now. You have so many different options in each of your premium lineups. Why deal with the amount of SKUs that exist just to make people excited about the visuals on their balls?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of, you know, where consumers are in general, right? Some people like to play a TrueTrack because of its functionality, and some people like it because it's different. It looks cool, like you use the analogy of your son, right? Collecting the cool looking ones, which are none of those are plain white golf balls, I would venture to guess.
They're
so, you know, there's some of that for sure in that mix as well. But I think that, you know, what's key is we're trying to really balance out this mix of providing, you know, what I would call at its simplest form, decoration, with functionality as well. So each of the things that we're doing aren't just there for the sake of being there. I think there's some of that in the marketplace. I would say that's not what we're aiming to do. We're trying to provide that benefit of doing something different, but also having it have a function as well. So, you know, even on something like, you know, Supersoft this year, we brought out the 360 splatter, and, you know, on its outset, it's creating something fun and unique and different with the Supersoft golf ball, which we've had tremendous momentum and success with, but still providing the functionality of the 360 component to it and the ability to line it up, see how the ball rolls, see the feedback you're getting there. So it's definitely bringing that mix. You know, some are more functional than others even. Triple Track's probably the best example of that. You know, we took TrueTrack, you know, obviously heavily inspired by TrueViz, but now it has much more of a, you know, alignment and feedback component to it than even TrueViz did. So, you know, continually trying to find ways to blend all of that together is super important for us. So the why it's worth it part is, you know, really different people like different things, right? Even in the office here, right? I use Neville, who we all know to be kind of a trinket, gadget, aim point. You know, he's got every training aid, everything around it, right? And he's a heavy user of alignment on golf balls, but has very strong feelings about what's better than the other, right? So I think that's a good example of, you know, different people react and function better with different things. And we see that in some of the preference and actual absolute data we see. Some people line up a Triple Track better than they do a TrueTrack or a 360 Triple Track even. So some people don't want all that on their golf ball. So we still offer white golf balls too. So it's kind of like, you know, why are there so many colors to cars? People like different things, you know, so,
right.
And then you see people wrapping cars. I saw like a neon green wrapped Tesla the other day. I mean, people want and need different things.
Yeah, I want to tie that into the super soft family, or even just the lower price point family of golf balls. That obviously the folks that are there are looking for a product at a reasonable price and are willing to make some concessions, but not all concessions, in order to play the same product and have hopes that it does perform well. And I've had good experiences with people who play super soft, or I play super soft. It's been a great ball from everything I understand. You've added this splatter technology, which I think looks really cool. And again, speaking from my son, he said the blue one is incredibly cool and has a birdie with it on the wall now. So that's awesome. But is that potentially allowing you to create more variety in a product that isn't so performance forward?
Yeah, I think, you know, super soft's a good example, right? We offer it now that we have splatter. We have 8 standard inline SKUs for super soft, because we have white and yellow on what I would call, you know, your standard golf ball. We have orange, green, pink, red in matte, and now red and blue splatter. And we just did a drop on a pink splatter as well. So, yeah, and I think there's so much volume there, and that's a good example of the type of player that is more interested in that type of thing, whether it be because of the visual benefits with aging golfers. We can't hide from the fact that, you know, there's more slightly older generation playing that golf ball as well, more, you know, more kids that are playing it, and they're more apt to want to show off. And so, yeah, there's definitely, you know, all that comes into play and there's enough volume in that model and that price point in particular to where it can make sense for us to have that much. Whereas as in some others, where maybe the volume's not as high, or, you know, even who the targeted player is, maybe there's not as much of that. I mean, for example, on Chrome Tour X, we don't offer as much of the visual technology as we do on Chrome Soft even. And that's all purposeful, not only in data driven when we have offered it and looked at the data, but in knowing that the types of players that are more likely to play those specific products.
So will we see this continued trend of visual technology just really get thrust at golf balls? Do you think, especially from the lower end of the price point spectrum, it gives people more of a reason to buy it, and that drives you to create unique ways to make it look fun?
Yeah, I don't see it for us, at least. I mean, I can obviously only speak for us. It's not going anywhere. In fact, you know, I had a meeting this morning where we did look at some new designs that we're working on and testing and things like that. So
tell us all about it, Jason.
No, I can't. I won't. We're still working on some really cool stuff. I'm not going to fall in that trap. But some really cool stuff, which again is balancing that uniqueness of being different, looking different, but providing some functionality at the same time. And, you know, then it becomes a decision of, okay, well, how does this fit in with the rest of what we have? And do we do it as a drop? Do we make it in line? What products do we put it on? So there's a lot of that, right? And how does it test versus this and that, and is it better than this or that? And I think you see a good example of that in the market this year, where, you know, TrueTrack ultimately replaced TrueVis, because the signal that we got and a lot of the data told us that people that played TrueVis like TrueVis for what it is, but the vast majority of them did not like TrueTrack any less or liked it better. And actually sales proved that when we had both in the market for a period of time last year. On TripleTrack, where we brought out 360 TrueTrack or TripleTrack last year, we didn't get that same signal, right? There was a lot of people that still really liked the standard TripleTrack, and that's still our best-selling SKU. So in that case, we didn't replace it. We added to it with 360 TripleTrack, right? Because there was a subset of people that liked that better. And that's held true where it's been in line this year. So it kind of depends on the situation, I would say. But, you know, looking at more ways throughout our lineup that we can bring more of that is definitely something that we are focused on. Again, can't really touch on what others are doing. I think you're seeing it from others in different ways, right? Some are adding a couple lines on either side of the side stamp and calling that alignment, where some are doing, you know, different designs altogether. So I think it's a mix of what's happening, but I think even top to bottom, everybody's doing more, at least. How much more is certainly debatable, but doing more in that space.
Hmm. So how long have you been specifically in ball?
Since it'll be 10, it's 10 years next month. So I started just before we launched the first Chrome Soft.
Okay.
That was my first kind of full part product launch.
So 10 years ago, you're looking at ball. Could you ever predict that it would go this way from a technological standpoint? Certainly not from a visual standpoint. I know we've had that discussion before. There was optimism there, it sounded like, but it didn't seem like the trend at that time. How much has ball shifted, and how much do you think it's changed in a way that you expected it to?
I think, you know, I'm very confident in our ability to develop innovative new ideas. We have, you know, arguably the biggest R&D team anywhere in golf, spend more money on it, and do a lot of really cool things. And that's not the end all be all, right? You could waste a lot of money too, but I think what it gives us the opportunity to do is develop really cool, unique things, and combined with what we've done with our capabilities in Chicopee and actually how we're producing the balls, I think those two areas have given us a pretty significant advantage in what we're doing. And ultimately, you know, the R&D team can develop the best ideas in the world, but if you can't make them and make them consistently, then that doesn't really help us either. So I think those two things in concert has been really important. And I wouldn't hide from the fact that what we've done in the visual space has been really important to what we've done in this category as well.
There was a lot of conversation recently, and it sort of died down a bit. I don't know if people got bored with it or someone got in a battle with a security guard, so folks are police officers, so people are talking about different things now. But for quite a while there was a discussion around the ball being changed, whether we like it or not, by the governing bodies. Is there still a lot of that going on? And is there quite a bit internally prepping to manage the results of that as they come?
Yeah, I mean, it honestly, we've been working on it well before they came out with an official position. We had a pretty good idea that it was coming, and, you know, really now know exactly how they are planning on implementing it. So yeah, there's a lot of work going on behind that. And all that's incremental work, you know, from everyday products that we need to deliver and into the market in the short term, right? That's a longer term thing, but we gotta be working on it now. And there's a lot of different ways to tackle that. And I think that's where some of the most interesting conversations we've had is, I think that's where it's gonna come down to, you know, the company or companies that do it the best are going to have the best advantage coming out of that. And certainly that's not going to, I mean, there's some very easy, quick solves to make a golf ball go shorter. But as I think, you know, we've proven through the years, and the example I always use is wedges, because I was working on wedges when that rule changed. And everybody was freaking out about, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to spin a wedge like I am today. You know, sitting here today, for golfers that played at a similar to same amount or ability to before that groove rule changed, I don't feel like I spin my wedges any less today than I did before that ruling changed. And that's because we got a lot of really smart people, and we've done a lot of really good things to be able to deliver that. So I think it's the same here. Does it have the opportunity to change the way we play the game and even maybe our golf clubs? Yeah, sure, it does. But I'm pretty confident that we'll figure that out and do it the best way to have it impact the golfer the least.
I like the idea of that. I don't want to be bothered at all. So,
well, I don't either. That's perfect. I mean, maybe that's one way to not have a soft cap is just not post my scores because I'm playing a ball that doesn't conform. But, you know, we're always going to make products that conform to the rules of golf. There's no way around that. So that will be our position on all fronts. So we'll find a way.
So one final challenge to you today before we wrap up. Is there anything that you would say to a person who doesn't spend a ton of time thinking about golf ball, or you happen to be playing with them and they reach in the bag for the eighth time and it's a different ball for the eighth time? What's your advice to someone?
Yeah, well, the first one we already covered, which is, you know, obviously I'd love it for it to be a Callaway ball, but regardless of what ball you play, play it consistently. And then when you do, don't walk in without an eye towards new products, right, and trying something else, but do it in a way where you give it the proper evaluation, right? So don't just hit it in a simulator or in a Fitbay. Get it out, get it on the golf course, and either find a ball that helps you maximize the things you're good at, or find a ball that helps you get better at the things that you're not good at.
Great. Do you think golf courses have enough water on them?
Yeah. I think it totally depends on the golf course. I've seen a few that don't have enough, so.
Well, the man needs to sell some golf balls. So, Finley, do you have anything for me today? Any questions or comments?
How do you think the THP team's jacking up for the granddaddy?
Oh, I think you guys are in deep trouble, as always. You know me. Listen, we all know what it could be, and it probably might be. But I'll tell you what, I'm THP all the way. You know that. Just like you'd be Callaway all the way.
Yeah. We're trying to give you an advantage even. We gave you Matt Wood, for God's sakes.
True. That will be painful for you guys. I'm sure of it. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, so you can avoid him at all costs. I get it. Yeah. We'll see how the team shakes up. I know they'll be excited to get out there and experience the madness that is the granddaddy. And I suspect if I'm lucky, we'll get you on once more before then to talk. And by then, you'll have some more thought goodies to share with us on some potential. And other than that, hope you have a great summer.
Yeah, you too. We'll get in full. We'll do it again before. And, you know, we'll talk about, you know, I got all my granddaddy gear back here.
Yeah.
Belt sitting right here. I got a very nice, I won't name any names, but I did get a nice head cover from a THP member that sits right here with the rest of my THP winning shrine. So we have the Darth Vader head cover. It's all part of my collection I have back here.
I did rock the G today for you, for the record. I'll never forget that moment right there. So either way, hey, if you folks are out there playing golf this weekend, give Callaway Golf Balls a shot, whether it's the Super Soft, which is a great lower end product price point, or the new Chrome Tour, which is very wicked, or Chrome Soft, whatever suits your game. Give them a shot, see what you think about it, and I'll catch you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.